This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guarantees to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call it 664-SEASONS.
I've been working with a Nourish dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Cops be cops and put handcuffs on the bad guys and put child molesters in prison and put murderers in prison and make sure CCP fentanyl doesn't kill another one of your constituents. That's track one. Track two, to restore the trust in the FBI. That has degraded, not by my opinion, by the Gallup poll, that only 40% of Americans have trust and faith in the FBI. It is a cataclysmic failure in leadership to get to that point that did not happen over time. And so what the FBI must do while tackling violent crime and protecting Americans' national security and our sovereignty is work with Congress, Republicans and Democrats, to expose any government corruption, provide government accountability through transparency, and get you all the documents that you are the custodians of.
So there you have Kash Patel speaking about what he is going to do once he gets into office. And we are very, very close to a confirmation of Kash Patel. But we also are here with Dori Murdoch to talk about it. Nationally syndicated columnist, Project 21 ambassador, Fox News contributor as well. Dori, welcome back. Good to have you.
Great, Annie. How are you? Good to talk to you.
I'm doing well. Donald Trump continues to get, really doesn't seem like he's had any major bumps in his first few weeks here of his administration. His cabinet picks are getting confirmed. Might be a slim majority, but a win's a win. We're about to see Kash Patel get confirmed. What are your thoughts on the nomination process so far and Kash Patel's ability to affect and accomplish the Trump administration's goals?
Yeah, taking them in that order, I think that President Trump has done a lot better than I think a lot of people expected when he first came out after getting re-inaugurated on January 20th. There was some question about would Pete Hegseth get through. There was some controversy about him. There was some about Tulsi Gabbard and, RFK Jr. Gee, he's got these kind of controversial views on vaccines, and oh my God, it's just all going to work out. And there's a lot of controversy about Kash Patel as well. Some of his views about January 6th, what have you. But as it is right now, Trump has gotten every single one of his cabinet nominees and high-level appointees approved and confirmed by the Senate. It looks like Patel is going to be approved tomorrow by the Senate. There's not been any Republican defectors, either Susan Collins or Lisa Murkowski, or for that matter, Mitch McConnell. So it looks like once controversial and now maybe sort of a consensus candidate, Kash Patel will get through and will be running the FBI probably by about maybe dinner time on Thursday.
Oh man,
that's a good thing.
Yeah, it is. It's an incredible thing, really, to think about it. What do you expect to see from Kash Patel? It'd be such an absolute departure from where we've been. Not even just in the Biden years, but maybe it could be a generational change that we see at the FBI under Kash Patel's leadership.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And boy, this place really needs to be hosed out. I mean, the FBI used to be such a respected organization, something that, you know, kids used to look up to the FBI and think, gee, maybe someday I can be a G-man. And now the FBI over the last 8 to 10 years has basically turned into the Democrat Party's secret police. And these are the folks who spied on the Trump campaign. They were right at the heart of the whole Russia hoax against Trump. You've got the FBI having looked at parents who were concerned about their either critical race theory or gender studies, whatever, in their kids' schools, and going to complain to local school boards and finding themselves being spied upon by the FBI, who thought that they were quote-unquote domestic terrorists. And so I think the FBI really has been weaponized against not just Donald J. Trump and his supporters, but even just rank-and-file American Americans who might be a bit more on the conservative side. And I think Kash Patel is going to go in and straighten all that out. I think he's also going to get a real focus on where the FBI should be working on. It's just basic law and order. In fact, he's got the endorsement of about 680,000 police officers through various organizations like the National Association of Police Organizations. That's about 250,000 members. The Fraternal Order of Police, they have about 370,000 members. And if you add up all the cops and law enforcement officials who are represented by these organizations, it adds up to about 680,000 police officers who are backing the nomination of Kash Patel. That's, as it looked it up, it's 1,000 more people than the city of Washington, D.C.'s population. So there's a big, big number of people who are backing Kash Patel, looking forward to him getting the FBI back to what it ought to be doing, which is not fighting people for their conservative views, but fighting criminals and bad guys and getting back to a stance of law and order, which is where what they really should be working on. It should have been working on all these last few years.
Yeah, it's so true. We're speaking with DeRoy Murdoch right now. I'm thinking about everything that Donald Trump campaigned on, and we're less than a month into Donald Trump's second term here, and he's made good on so many promises already. I keep seeing these videos certainly popping up in my X feed that are from left-leaning media networks, and they're reporting on the approval numbers of Donald Trump. And it's kind of like I keep saying, they'd pull out their hair if they hadn't pulled it out already. But they are reporting on the fact that Americans, voters, taxpayers, American citizens are happy with the direction that Donald Trump is taking this administration. Are you surprised that the country is as approving of the Trump administration as they seem to be at this point?
Not terribly. I think really what President Trump is doing is just delivering on his promises, as he did in his first term. And nobody should be surprised about the stuff he's doing. You can agree or disagree, but almost nothing that he's come up with is like, wow, where'd that come from? We didn't see that coming. I think maybe the Gulf of America versus the Gulf of Mexico is a bit of a surprise. But almost every one of his policies that he's been unveiling, it's like, yeah, he talked about that on the campaign trail. He discussed it at the convention, discussed it in his various rallies and interviews and appearances and so on. So he's basically doing what he said he would do. And I think a lot of people are just very happy to see a president, or any politician for that matter, who makes promises and then spends his term not breaking those promises, but actually trying to deliver on them. And as I explained in the American Spectator today, my piece, Cops for Cash, this includes moving back to fighting crime and returning to law and order, which is one of the key issues that was on the campaign trail last fall, and getting Kash Patel approved and getting the FBI focused back on locking up the bad guys. That's a big part of what Trump promised when he's on the campaign trail.
What's the next step in your mind for Republicans? Certainly, we've got, you know, the big, beautiful bill that needs to get taken care of, might get split up into two different parts. But everything, there's a honeymoon period for most administrations. I wasn't sure that Donald Trump would get one, but he seems to be. Mm-hmm. What is the next step, kind of the sophomore year of this Trump administration, going to need to focus on to make sure that we translate the support that he's seeing right now into the future?
That's a very good question. You did mention the big, beautiful bill. I think it's very important to get the tax cuts delivered, not just because the American people have been overtaxed and exhausted, their wallets are screaming for mercy, and the sooner that they actually can get tax relief, the better. But I think a lot of people, however this is going to turn out, whether the tax rates go down or stay about where they are, people just need some clarity and need to know what the rules are. And then people start making appropriate investment decisions. Right now, there's some question as to whether these tax cuts will go through in the next few weeks, or is this going to be something more like, you know, September, October? Where will the tax rates be? What can you write off? What can't you write off? And while there are that many questions, the economy is really just kind of going to to be a bit on hold. So I think it's very important to get that through. The sooner we can, the better. I think one big bill that does it more quickly is probably better than two bills that will just take more time. But I think that's important. I think an area where he has spent some time and probably needs to spend even more is on school choice and the complete mess we've got in America's public school system. We seem to be spending more and more money, and the more money we spend, the farther down the test scores and the reading and math comprehension numbers come in. And so I think we need to put a lot of work into that, into school choice and maintaining high standards, into getting teachers actually know what it is they're teaching and expecting our kids, black, white, Hispanic, and otherwise, to go to class and get actually educated and actually learn something in schools that can grow up from little boys and little girls to productive men and women. Mm-hmm. I think that's extremely important. And the more effort that President Trump and his team put in that, the better.
Yeah, that's so true and so necessary. And a lot of what I've appreciated from Donald Trump and his administration, especially with him, you know, he's been on the inside for 4 years before, but he still seems like an outsider. He doesn't seem like his sole existence in Washington, D.C. is to preserve Washington, D.C. He comes mm-hmm. to the table with really wild and innovative solutions to problems, and the things that he is suggesting, they're very bold things. And a lot of times it's like, oh, I don't think you can do that. And then you kind of have to take a moment and go, well, why can't you do that? And it seems like Donald Trump is the innovator, the fearless innovator, that fearlessness of his is necessary. And it's just, it's had a lot of success so far.
I think that's true. And I think, you know, I think maybe the most radical idea, I guess, we've heard is this concept of, I call it the Great State of Gaza, you know, the Gaza Strip becoming our 51st state, or however you want to put it. And, you know, I don't know if that's how this is finally going to shake out, but boy, it really is a different way of thinking. And it's caused people to say, all right, well, we're not crazy about that idea, but how about this? And maybe the Egyptians will take some of the Palestinians and some of them will go to Jordan. And while all this rubble I think I've heard thousands of unexploded bombs are sitting amid all the rubble. Imagine the Palestinians go back and they just go about their business. And they just, you know, it's almost like stepping on landmines. So however that works out, I mean, it's a very original idea, something no one's heard before. And maybe somebody will come up with an idea that's not quite that, but maybe something that's a little bit, out of the box, as they say. So, I mean, he's a very, very innovative and different kind of thinker. And I think it allows, as somebody said, it moves the Overton window so that people can think of a lot of other reforms just rather than doing what we've done, you know, for the last 30, 40 years, which is really not make a whole lot of progress in that area, a lot of other areas.
Well, the reform definitely will take another step forward with the confirmation of Kash Patel. We'll be watching that. And I'll share that article that you wrote in The Spectator for people to check out your take on that. We always appreciate you being with us, DeRoy. Thanks for joining us.
All right, today. Annie. Pleasure's mine. Thanks very much.
Bye-bye. DeRoy Murdoch, Project 21 ambassador, Fox News contributor, and nationally syndicated columnist, including that article in The Spectator. The Gaza, I'm glad he brought that up. The Gaza Strip, like, America's going to take it over for a while. And everyone goes, what? Excuse me. Huh? Can you do that? I'm constantly asking myself, when Donald Trump suggests something, is that what he really wants? Or is that how he gets to what he wants? And if you are somebody who feels like, I don't know, you've written the book on the art of the deal or something like that, I trust him. And there aren't very many people in that city that I trust. There aren't many people in government that I trust to have the right focus, the right goal, the right outcome, the beneficiary of the outcome in mind that needs to be had. And the beneficiary of this is the American people. It's the sovereignty of the United States of America. It's a country that is great and deserves to be preserved and deserves to be upheld and strengthened with every passing day. I trust that he has that as his goal. It seems like a lot of the people who have come before him, Republican and Democrat alike, did not have that kind of resolve. And because Donald Trump, at least to this point, has proven to me that he does, and I know that sounds like crazy talk to people who think he's the worst person to ever walk the face of the earth, we just disagree. When we come back, Hogan Gidley is going to join us. The America First Policy Institute really had helped laid the groundwork for the Trump administration to come in on day one and get the job done. And we're going to talk to Hogan Gidley about the preparation that went into this administration being able to, in its first month, do all of the things that that they have done so far, but also what comes next. Hogan Gidley, senior advisor for communications with the America First Policy Institute, on the Annie Fry Show next.
Faded inside. What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Chicago winters can be tough. Snow, ice, and freezing temps make every drive a challenge. If you're thinking it's time for a new Chevy, you're right. Your local Chevy dealer has the perfect vehicle to keep you safe and confident on the road. From heavy-duty performance to everyday versatility, Chevy has you covered. The Silverado offers unmatched power. The Equinox and Blazer provide all-weather confidence. Need room for the whole crew? Check out the Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban, or go for the sporty, city-friendly Trax. Perfect for navigating winter streets. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. That's ChevyDriveChicago.com to explore the latest models, find special offers, locate your nearest dealer, and even start shopping online. Don't let winter slow you down. Find your next Chevy today at ChevyDriveChicago.com. That's ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Quid, ABC, Disney, the mouse, who has more money than God, settle with Donald Trump?
I honestly don't know.
You know, I've asked, why would ABC? But people ask me all the time, why is the media so mamsy-pamsy? And there are two explanations. One is they are convinced that if they would just move a little bit to the right, all those MAGA readers out there, now you'll notice the contradiction in terms, MAGA readers, would pick up the Washington Post and they would have more readers. What is the logical fallacy here? Yes, reader. And there is nothing that the Washington Post could possibly do that would have those people take out a subscription, but they're convinced they're in there someplace.
Jennifer Rubin and George Conway are big mad and they're losing and you can tell and they just can't stop. But they're in their little cocoon here trying to insinuate that MAGA voters, you know, they can't read. That's just a given. Meanwhile, Donald Trump is moving at the fastest pace that I think we've ever seen government work for the American people. And I have to assume that a lot of that has to do with the fact that they came in on day one, on minute one, prepared to get the business of the American people done and to do what they said in the campaign that they would do. And I think a lot of that had to do with their work with the America First Policy Institute. We're going to speak with their senior advisor for communications now, Hogan Gidley, back with us once again. Hogan, welcome back to the show. I know that it's always nice to listen to Jennifer Rubin and George Conway when they're losing so much.
Well, she's been losing now for quite some time, the fake conservative that she is. And I've known her for a long time. And even way back in 2016, 2012, she was one of those that a lot of people went to give stories to, only to realize she was really in the tank for Romney. So that kind of tells you where her conservatism comes from, mm-hmm. that wing of the party, which, of course, is no more, at the very least, on life support. So the media is always confused and perplexed by Donald Trump, and it's obvious as to why. Because Donald Trump actually moves to get things done and accomplished for the American people. What they're used to is government gridlock. What they're used to is wasteful spending, misused, mismanaged money, problems overseas at our borders that they can't figure out, but yet somehow they're still considered experts. Or if they do wade into those affairs, they always end up blowing up in their faces. This is the problem with that type of thinking and that type of ideology. It never garners a solution. And so you see why it benefits them to keep things in chaos. Because if they solve it, they're out of a job. Yeah. That's the bottom line. Trump understands, I got 4 years and I'll be out of a job, so I'm going to get things done.
Well, what has he done in 4 weeks? My goodness. How much of him going into and being able to execute in these first 4 weeks, the executive orders? I remember talking to you, Hogan, years ago when Joe Biden was the president and you were talking about what was being done in the background. And at the time, it was for whomever that next Republican is that comes into the office, that we are prepared to get the business of the people done. Talk to me about what Donald Trump has been able to do so far and compare that to the first time around for him.
Oh, it is leaps and bounds different, as you can tell. Look, Donald Trump was a businessman. He was a billionaire, or is a billionaire, I guess, but was a businessman. He understood business. He wasn't ever a governor. He wasn't ever a mayor. He wasn't a senator, anything of that sort. And so, you know, people always say, run the government like a business. Well, it's not a business. Now, can you do things to make it more efficient, like, you know, business practices, good business practices? Sure. But it's not that way because of the bureaucracy, because of the layers and layers that you have to go through to make certain decisions. Donald Trump learned from the first time. So he's not only, you know, wiser to the ways of Washington. He also has discernment and knowledge of how government works. And look, it's trite, but it's true. Hindsight is 2020. And if we all had the chance to go back and redo something we had done in the past, even if we succeeded, we'd do even better, far better than we did before. So that's what Donald Trump did. He was able to succeed with all the political winds against him, with all the press against him, in the face of Russia collusion, hoaxes, and lies, all types of lawfare going after his family, his businesses, his colleagues, his coworkers, all of this stuff, he still was able to succeed. Now he comes in with the wind at his back and a vast majority of the American people supporting him in a landslide, historic victory. He's got to get stuff done for them. And right now, polling shows the American people are excited about where this country's headed because it's heading back to success in such a rapid fashion. And that's all because of Donald Trump and his preparedness while he was out of office, getting ready for this day. And you hear all the time politicians say, on day one, I'm going to do this, or I promise on day one, I'm going to get to work. This guy did it, and he did it so quickly that the media had been caught flat-footed. The Democrats don't have anything else to talk about except going after Elon Musk. They're in disarray, and it's because they had the keys to the castle for 4 years and did nothing but make our lives worse.
It's so true. And it's so fun to be on this side of it. It's so fun to cover this news.
Really is.
The news cycle.
And real quick, Annie, I wanted him to win, obviously, to change the policy. What I really wanted, though, was to see the meltdown. And boy, have I not been surprised.
That is so true.
I've not been disappointed at all by the media and the Democrats' meltdown. It's been epic.
And you've definitely paid the time and paid the dues in order to enjoy that a little bit. I think many of us feel that way. That's kind of, you know, having talked to you for 4 years and even before that, when Trump was president the first time and you were working with the administration then Biden gets in and just innovatively figuring out ways to destroy this country. And meanwhile, Donald Trump is somewhere, probably in Mar-a-Lago, thinking about what he would do if he were to get back in there. The America First Policy Institute is taking that, what would we do, and putting it on paper so that if we had the opportunity to do it, it would be ready to go. When you are watching all of this come together in the background, the America First Policy Institute and your conversations with people who might be in the position to implement it, is this how you saw it going? Is it better than you anticipated? How did you expect it, and what's the material?
It's better. It's way better. I don't think anyone was really prepared for the rapidity at which Donald Trump would move, given all of the documentation, the executive orders, the laws, the rules that are right in front of him today. They're at his fingertips now. They weren't that way the first time. A lot of Republicans fought against him. Don't forget, it was Paul Ryan, who was the Speaker of the House at the time, who literally fought against us getting funding for the border. He refused a border wall. Like, this intra-party politics was way worse then, because no one knew what to make of Donald Trump. He was outside the box. He was different. And so they were so confused at the way he operated. Now they were with him for 4 years. They understand. And so what they want to do now is execute. And we have a speaker like Mike Johnson, for example. And in full disclosure, I do some work with him, but he's been pretty open about the fact Donald Trump calls the plays and we run them.
Yeah.
And that's happened to this point. And so I expect it to continue.
Do you feel like there are areas in the Republican Party right now? I mean, there's maybe some contrary voices from time to time. Are any of these voices, are there any people right now in the Republican Party, in Congress or whatever, that are actively working against the America First plan?
I don't know if they're actively working against it. You know, you saw the other day Mitch McConnell vote against one of the nominees that Trump had. So, look, I don't know anyone's working against it. However, I do think there are some folks there who, while publicly may be professing some support, behind the scenes may not be all in. The fact is, this has been such a jarring whiplash effect for so many, because after Donald Trump won in 16, you know, and loses or isn't in the White House, I guess, in 2020, the question then becomes, where's the party go? And when you lose an election, that's always the ask. What are we doing? Who's the leader of the party? And when Trump decides to run, a lot of people on the Republican side were confused by that, concerned by that. And then you saw the mugshot. Then you saw the indictments. Then you saw the Mar-a-Lago raid. They tried to kill him. You know, all of the things that happened that were historic in nature that would kill anybody else politically, anybody. He doesn't just come back. He roars back into our lives with a massive landslide victory. They changed candidates like weeks before the election because they thought they could get a better shot with Kamala. I mean, they threw everything at this man. He still succeeded. And so getting into office, the whole thing gets the Republican Party more energized, more understanding of the electorate. We listened to them and understood they cared about the price of gas and groceries. They wanted a closed southern border, a reduction in even legal immigration. They didn't want foreign wars and the industrial complex, the military-industrial complex, getting, being able to wage war all over the world. They didn't want that. And a lot of politicians on our side, to their credit, stood up and went, okay, we hear you. This is where the party's going, thanks to Donald Trump. we're going to embrace it instead of fight against it like we did the first time.
Oh, and it's been magnificent. We know you got to run, and we appreciate your time. Real quick before we let you go, you prepared us for day one. We're going to be drinking from a fire hose because Donald Trump is going to get so much done so quickly. We're a month into this about right now. Does that pace continue?
Yeah, look, I want to say it slows down at some point just by law of averages, and you know, you got to take a breath. But also understand Donald Trump can't run for re-election. So what you expect is he's going to push as hard as he can, as long as he can, until you know the political realities exist that he won't have any more victories in Congress, for example, because they'll be running for re-election. But you know, I was on a panel recently on television where they were talking about Donald Trump and how, you know, they were exhausted after the first couple of weeks. And I said, well, you guys had you basically had a nap for 4 years. Joe Biden didn't do anything.
Yeah.
I mean, he was calling lids, which means, you know, you kind of end the thing at noon, for heaven's sake. So this guy's running hard. He's doing the right things, and he's going to do it for the American people as long as he possibly can. And I promise you, even when Congress is kind of in that phase where they're not going to talk to him anymore because they got to run for election, I guarantee you he's still going to be doing stuff.
Well, we're going to be watching, and thank you for your time to come on with us today and talk to us about it. And that little stroll down recent memory lane, we'll do that anytime. We'll go over the election anytime with you. Hogan, thank you for being with us today.
Thanks so much.
Take care. Bye-bye. Hogan Gidley, America First Policy Institute Senior Advisor for Communications. This guy also was the former National Press Secretary for the Trump campaign. He was also the former principal deputy press secretary in the Trump administration. I think he worked a lot with Kayleigh McEnany, maybe Sarah Huckabee Sanders as well. But he has been right there in the room for quite some time. And he's been on our show for a long time, too. It doesn't get old. It doesn't get old thinking about all the details. I say to myself, Brad, if you were like to pop the movie, the DVD, or we don't do that anymore. If you were to find the streaming platform and be like, oh, here's a movie about a president, blah, blah, blah. If you watched what they did to Trump, how much they threw at him, and then watched how he overcame it, it's almost not believable. I mean, it was almost too much that they threw at him. And too much winning.
Very, very Hollywood, that story is. I mean, almost to the point where you kind of have to suspend disbelief to watch it. But what do they say? Sometimes reality is better than fiction. You can't make this stuff up. You know, Donald Trump's story, you know, rising to the office of president, beating Hillary Clinton when nobody thought he had a chance, and then losing in such dramatic fashion in 2020, only to come back after everything that they threw at him, accusations of inciting an
insurrection.
Yeah, I'm not trying to Schumer this. So doing that to the point where they shot at him, they tried to put him in jail, all sorts of things. I mean, honestly, have we forgotten that it was two assassination attempts, not just one? I mean,
and those
are
the two that we know about.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that there aren't times where something happened and it was not publicly consumed.
And then to run an election that was so strong that it forced the sitting president to back out for the sitting vice president who...
Or get forced out.
Yeah. And then just, it was an absolute drubbing on election night. And then he comes in and he hits the ground running and he's doing everything that he said he was going to do. It's phenomenal. I actually would watch this movie a lot.
Who's going to make it? It's good. Who's going to play Trump? Even if it was just sad Alec Baldwin the whole time, I'd watch it just to watch him have to be Donald Trump winning. I'm for that. Donate the money to charity. Make that movie. Quick break. When we come back, Ryan Wiggins back in studio with us. The YouTube live chat poll. Should Doge pay out a dividend to the American taxpayer with the money they are saving? Do you want to take phone calls on this? I got a lot of comments on it. Do you want to call in and tell us if you think that you should get a dividend? Should Doge pay out a dividend to the American taxpayer with the money that they are saving? It's an interesting question. And the poll right now on the Andy Fry YouTube channel, where you need to go vote, is very close. What do you think? Give us a call, 314-241-9797, 314-241-9797, and let us know what you think. We'll be right back. Well, on the YouTube live chat poll, which Ryan was just talking about, the Doge dividend, should it go back to the American people? I mean, if you're voting for a dividend, that doesn't necessarily mean every dollar that comes back that Elon Musk and his team finds goes back directly to the American people. But should the American people get some of it back? Yes or no? That's what we want to know from you. I don't usually do this, but I'm looking right now. We've got 216 votes, and it's 54-46 split right now. I'm not going to tell you which way. You got to go vote to
it's
find
close.
Out. 54-46. So I'll also add in here before I get to the calls that are coming in. It looks like we have one open line right now at 314-241-9797. Some of the comments that have come in here, Doc said, I'm confused at the current votes on this poll. I really thought conservatives would want to use the money to bring down debt, not throw money at people. Whose money? Anyway, 314-241-9797. Give us a call, and we're going to try to move through these phone calls because we do have a full board of phone calls. So we'll put you on, let you make your point, and then we'll try to move on to the next person. So let's try to keep it moving here. And we're going to start with Bob. Bob, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show. Do you want the Doge dividend to come back to the American people?
Yes, I would love to have it come back to the American people, but my question or my statement would be to have it go back to only people that voted for President Trump, because they're the only ones that believed in what he was going to say.
Done. I agree.
Okay.
Bob, that's a very interesting take. I thought he was going to say taxpayers, and then he took a turn. I'm sure it's not the same group of people. I mean, obviously, that's not going to ever happen, but he does make a point.
Well, the more you narrow down the amount of people getting the return, the more you get. So I would even take voters.
Yeah, as long as I'm still included, I'm for
right,
it.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it obviously can't be that way. But Bob, you make a really interesting point. Like for the people who wanted it, do you believe that the taxpayer dollar originates and belongs to the taxpayer? Or do you believe that the government can take whatever it is? And as long as they've gotten it out of your paycheck, then it's theirs to determine what they would like to do. Mark, thank you for calling the Annie Fry Show. Do you think that the Doge dividend should be paid out to the American taxpayer?
Hello there. How y'all doing today?
We're doing okay. Hopefully you are as well.
Fantastic. No, I don't, because I see it as more of kind of the same kind of thing. Everybody's like, oh, money, money. Well, give me my share. It should be redirected. The funds that they're finding now, redirect those into things exactly like paying down the national debt. And then in the long run, ultimately, we'll see a dividend, and that'll be when this waste is gone. We'll all get the benefit of lower taxes on the backside. We'll get the reduction of the debt. All these things will help feed the economy, make the country better, make our lives better. That's going to be the dividends that we see in it.
Now, I like that thought, too, as well, Mark. Thank you for the phone call. Ryan, do you think that, I know that you said at the beginning of the show, you and Brad both said that you were not like super hardcore convicted to one side or the other. You're mulling.
And I really have not decided still. Everybody makes a good point.
The only thing that I would say to what Mark said there is that, like, everybody wants, like, give me money. This is if it's your tax dollars that have been taken from you and is proportionally returned to you, it's not give me money. It's give me back my money.
Well,
I think there's a difference there.
But every government payout we've ever done has always been your money. So I think the argument against it is that we shouldn't be doing government payouts because they sort of create a false dependency.
Let's go to Tim. Tim, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show. Your thoughts on a dividend coming out of all this Doge savings?
This is an excellent question. I look at it like I'm walking into a Quick Trip ordering an ice cream cone. I don't care if it's vanilla or chocolate. I'll almost take either one.
And then, right?
So you're up for whatever.
Well, almost, except that, you know, we need to... I understand where the guy's saying that if we lower down our
deficit debt, yeah,
that'll help lower the interest rates and stimulate the economy in the long run. But you know what? We need a boost. You know, just like every time, like if you want to go way back when George Bush way back and he did that one time, you know, that tax credit for everybody, and it's helped stimulate the economy. We sort of need that a little bit. So. I understand where in the long run,
yeah,
it would be good if we start paying down the debt, and in the long run, the interest rates are going to go down, and in the long run, it'll stimulate the economy because of the interest rates getting better.
Tim, when you go on a Quick Trip, do you get chocolate or vanilla?
It depends on if my wife's with me.
See?
What does that mean? You like one better when your wife tells you you do?
No. If I'm going to order it, I usually will just order the same thing. So she swears by Quick Trip ice cream. I don't know why. It's just a thing with her. So I will go with what my wife chooses at that point in time because I like to get along and I love my wife.
Happy wife, happy life.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been we've been together for a long time.
How long?
So, yeah.
How long have you been married?
25 years.
Why did you mumble it the first time?
Oh, it's been a while.
Tim, go get some Quick Trip ice cream and tell them the Andy Fry Show said hi. And everybody listening right now, you deserve a Quick Trip ice cream. And if your wife is getting it, does she get chocolate or vanilla?
She gets vanilla.
Okay, that's the right choice. All right.
That's what I was waiting for.
Tim, thank you for the phone call. We appreciate you. Thanks for listening. That was wild. I liked it.
Now I want ice cream.
Let's go to Tom. Tom, we are talking about the Doge dividend. Should the government pay some of this money that they're finding back to the American people? What do you think?
I don't think so. I think we can go ahead and give it to the debt and everything. But what we really need to do is all of the people that were cheating us, the 150-year-old person that's still getting that check, we need to make sure that they, all the money that they've gotten comes back to us.
Ooh.
And all of the politicians that were cheating us, that they were probably pocketing some of this money, they're the ones that they can start paying us, because they took it from us. Now we need to get it back from them.
You want some accountability, not just get the money back, but you want names.
I want names, and I want jail time, and I want my money back.
Tom, thank you for the phone call.
That's a good point, though.
Yeah.
Because what we're talking about is making sure no future bad payments are going out. But what about clawing back those who have been stealing it? Can we get that back? And probably not all of it, but can we get any of it back?
Do you think that the majority of the monies that are going into... Are we 100% confident that these 150, 200-year-old people, that those checks are being cashed?
I'm not 100% confident.
I mean, is it possible that it is a...
clerical error?
Like a clerical error that doesn't actually materialize in dollars going out?
It is possible. But I've seen both sides present why that's not plausible.
Let's get to Gene. Gene, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show. Do you want to Hello, Gene. Do you want to see this money back in your checking account?
Absolutely. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. I'm 83 years old. My husband is 84. We've been married 60 years.
Congratulations.
We have saved and saved and saved for retirement. We have taken out more money under the Biden's administration than ever.
Yeah.
Our savings, we don't have big multitudes of, dividends mm-hmm. from checking and everything else. We are just working people.
Yeah.
And I've had to take money out to put a Thanksgiving and Christmas meal on the table because it ran up over $100-something to feed my family the way that we're used to doing it. I am sick of that kind of stuff. I'm so grateful President Trump is in office and he will do something about it.
Gene, 60 years, there must be a lot of wisdom in your relationship with the two of you having been together that long. And I hope that we get to maybe put one of those checks back in your account to make that a little bit more affordable, and that Donald Trump is able to help correct the economy so that you don't have to make those withdrawals in order to make those basic purchases.
That's true. We've lived in modest homes, lovely homes that I've kept clean, all the rest of the stuff. And now we're in our golden years, and we're not quite scrimping this today. But we scrimped for 4 years, and that's unexcusable.
Yeah,
unexcusable. Yes. From the time Obama went into office and we didn't have gas, unbelievable. When we retired, 2 years before we retired, we made positive we could live on Social Security and his dividends from 40 years in the printing company. We made positive we did. We only lived on that amount of money. We weren't even both retired when Obama raises the gas like over the ceiling and everything else. And it's been that way ever since, except for when Trump was in office, it was starting to come down. And we have to stand behind this man and J.D. Vance and all the other ones, every one of them.
Gene, thank you for the phone call. Thanks for listening to the show, too. We really appreciate
you. No problem. We love you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Gene. You know, you think about people... in their 80s who have gone through different administrations and seen the effect of different administrations, when you become on a fixed income and you have the Biden administration come in and talk to you about all the things that are wrong, and this bill is going to go up and this bill is going to go up, but it's the least you can do because you need to do it for the environment. Meanwhile, you're looking at all the places that this federal government is shipping your tax dollars off, and all of them are getting fat and happy off of the money that you can't find in your checking account to put a Thanksgiving dinner on the table for your family. A Doge dividend is starting to sound a little bit nicer. What do you think? Go vote in the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll. Should the Doge pay out a dividend to you? We'll be right back.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.